Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey there, Herman and Corin. So I figured that there are probably worse things for me to ask questions in the podcast about. I've mentioned that I tried in the past to create my own AI streaming content recommendation engine. I mentioned some of the pitfalls that I ran into, and we talked about the ways that I might have overcome these obstacles to build my, you know, my dream little robot that talks in the wall or something. And I say, hey, I want to watch something good on Netflix. What's on? Pick something I like and play it. And we talked about this led us in, as it often does, to tangential discussions about self-correcting models and all the kind of hurdles to that workflow. It seems like something so simple. But when we got to talking it through and I explained the obstacles I ran into around context retention, repetitive suggestions, it got us into a good discussion about all those memory, context, the building blocks, or some of the major building blocks of modern AI engineering. But today I thought I'd just take advantage of the two of you being right here to see if this workflow can work at all. So Herman and Corin, I'm asking now for your recommendations. I'll tell you what I'm in the mood for. So as you know, with our leak situation in the roof, we've been involved in some challenges with tenancy that involved doing some things that were a little bit investigative, following breadcrumbs around the internet, reading up on previous legal cases. And it made me think about Strike, which is one of the favorite shows. One of my favorite shows, it's based around, based on the J.K. Rowling novels written under one of her pseudonyms. And what I like about it, I mentioned before, I'm a fan of realistic television or documentaries, because as this podcast bears out, reality is often more interesting than fiction. I don't like the kind of very glamorized genre of spy movies and stuff like that, where it kind of feels like it's not realistic. So I've gone through the list, I think, of movies about the work of the intelligence community and stuff like that, that are supposed to be more realistic as judged by actual former people in that world. But I'd love to get some recommendations for you guys, from you, on what I might like depicting the work of, whether it's private investigators like in Strike or detectives in law enforcement, people who actually really do this kind of work. And what I like about Strike a lot is that it feels realistic because it's gritty. There isn't too much of that kind of glamorized high-tech thing. It's slow. I like the pacing, and it's really good. You feel like you're getting an insight into this interesting industry, and you're learning a few things that you can kind of use yourself for how to investigate matters, whether it's whatever kind of context you're in. And it's entertaining. So that's a show I really like. So I'm interested, Herman and Corin, we're gonna be watching some more episodes, but maybe any other shows and movies that I might enjoy based on that preference. Herman and Corin, let's play a round of, if you liked it, you like this. What movies and TV series do you think I might enjoy to go on a good relaxation watching binge this weekend?
Hey everyone, welcome back to My Weird Prompts. I am Corn, and as usual, I am joined by my brother,
Herman Poppleberry, at your service. And man, what a week it has been in this house.
It really has. Between the rain and that legendary leak in the roof, we have all been doing a bit of investigative work ourselves. Our housemate Daniel has been following breadcrumbs across the internet just to figure out the legalities of our tenancy agreement.
He really has. I saw him with three different tabs open just on property law yesterday. It is actually quite fitting because the prompt Daniel sent us for today's episode is all about that gritty, realistic world of investigation. He is looking for recommendations for shows or movies that depict private investigators or law enforcement in a way that feels real, specifically citing Strike as his benchmark.
I love that he brought up Strike. It is such a distinct flavor of detective fiction. For those who are not familiar, it is based on the Robert Galbraith novels, which we know is a pseudonym for J.K. Rowling. but the show itself, especially with Tom Burke and Holiday Grainger, has this very specific atmosphere. It is London, it is grey, and it is incredibly focused on the actual drudgery of the job.
Exactly. It is the anti-CSI. There are no holograms, no magical enhance buttons on a grainy security camera, and nobody is solving a murder in 42 minutes between commercial breaks. It is about the legwork. And honestly, Korn, I think that is a great place to start our dive today. What is it about that realism that draws us in?
Well, I think for a lot of people, especially an audience like ours that appreciates the technical details, the appeal is in the process. When you see a character like Cormoran Strike having to sit in a car for 12 hours just to see who enters a building, it validates the difficulty of the task. It makes the eventual payoff feel earned.
Right. It is the difference between a superhero story and a craft story. And speaking of craft, if we are looking for that same gritty, grounded energy, we have to talk about the heavy hitters. If Daniel is looking for a weekend binge, he has to look at the shows that paved the way for this modern wave of realism.
You are thinking of the classics, aren't you?
I am. I mean, we have to mention The Wire. I know it is the obvious choice, but it is the obvious choice for a reason. It is the gold standard for depicting the intersection of law enforcement, bureaucracy, and the actual streets. It shows that even the most dedicated detectives are often hamstrung by their own department's politics.
That is such a key point. In Strike, half the battle is just keeping the business afloat and dealing with the police who do not want a private investigator stepping on their toes. The Wire takes that and scales it up to an entire city. But if we want something a bit more contemporary, or maybe something that focuses more on a single character's perspective like Strike does, where would you go?
Well, if he wants that persistent, slightly obsessive detective energy, Bosch is the answer. Specifically, the original series and then the sequel, Bosch Legacy. We actually just saw the series finale of Bosch Legacy back in April of last year, 2025, which was quite a moment for fans of that franchise.
Oh, I remember you being glued to the screen for that. Titus Welliver really inhabited that role. What makes Bosch fit this gritty and realistic criteria so well?
It is the procedural accuracy. Michael Connelly, who wrote the books, spent years as a crime reporter. He knows how the paperwork works. He knows how a crime scene is actually processed. Harry Bosch is a character who is constantly at odds with the hierarchy, much like Strike. He is a veteran, he has seen too much, and he has this relentless internal code. It is not about the glory, it is about the everybody counts or nobody counts philosophy.
I think that moral weight is a big part of the realism. In a lot of shiny detective shows, the morality is very black and white. In these gritty shows, the detectives are often flawed, sometimes unlikable, and they carry a lot of baggage.
Definitely. And if we want to shift back across the pond to the United Kingdom, because Strike has that very British sensibilities, we have to talk about Unforgotten. Did you see the news that they just started filming season 7 this week?
I did see that. January 26 was the start date, I believe. That is a show that is almost entirely about the drudgery of investigation, but in the most fascinating way. It is about cold cases. They find remains that have been hidden for 20, 30, or 40 years, and they have to reconstruct a life from almost nothing.
It is brilliant because it focuses on the emotional realism as much as the technical. It shows how a crime from decades ago still ripples through people's lives today. And the chemistry between the leads, Sonny and Cassie in the early seasons, and now Sonny and Jess, it has that same professional but deeply human connection that Strike and Robin have.
That is a great recommendation. It is less about the action and more about the interview. Watching them talk to people and slowly peel back the layers of a lie is incredibly satisfying. It feels like real detective work, because real detective work is mostly just talking to people and realizing they are lying to you.
Exactly. Now, let us pivot slightly. Daniel mentioned he likes the private investigator angle as well. There is a show on Apple TV Plus that I think is one of the best things to happen to the genre in years, even though it is technically a spy drama. I am talking about Slow Horses.
Oh, Gary Oldman as Jackson Lamb. That is the definition of gritty.
It is the grittiest. It takes the glamour of James Bond and throws it in a dumpster behind a London pub. It is about the Slow Horses, the MI5 agents who have messed up so badly they have been exiled to Slow House. They spend their days doing mind-numbing data entry and paper shredding.
But when they do get involved in a case, it is messy. People get hurt, they make mistakes, and Jackson Lamb is quite possibly the least hygienic character in television history.
He is magnificent. But the reason it fits Daniel's request is that it treats intelligence work like a bureaucratic nightmare. It shows that the biggest threat isn't always a foreign assassin. Sometimes it is your own boss trying to cover their tracks. Season 5 just finished airing last October, and it was phenomenal. They have already confirmed seasons 6 and 7, too.
I think the reason Slow Horses work so well alongside something like Strike is that both shows acknowledge the unglamorous nature of the work. In Strike, they are often worried about how they are going to pay the rent for their tiny office on Denmark Street. In Slow Horses, they are worried about whether they have enough toner for the copier. It is those domestic, mundane details that ground the higher stakes.
It makes the danger feel more real when the characters have to worry about the same stuff we do. Speaking of grounding, we should talk about a movie that I think is the ultimate investigative film. It is not a series, but if Daniel wants a weekend binge, he should watch this and then read up on the real case. I am talking about David Fincher's Zodiac.
That is a masterpiece, and it really captures the obsession aspect of investigation.
It is the most realistic depiction of how an investigation can consume a person's life. It spans years. It shows the transition from paper files to early computer databases. It shows how lead after lead can just evaporate. There is no easy closure in that movie, which is how real life often is.
That is a tough one for some people because we are so conditioned to want that final aha moment where the handcuffs go on and the credits roll. But Zodiac is about the lack of that moment. It is about the weight of the unsolved.
Right. And if you want a more modern take on that same small town heavy atmosphere vibe, Mayor of Easttown with Kate Winslet is stellar. It is a limited series, so it is a perfect one weekend watch. It is gritty, it is gray, and it feels lived in. You could almost smell the stale coffee and the damp Pennsylvania air.
Kate Winslet was incredible in that. She really captured the exhaustion of a detective who's been in the same town for too long, knowing everyone's secrets, and having her own secrets known by everyone else.
It is that local knowledge angle. In Strike, Robin is often the one who uses her social skills and her understanding of different social strata to get information. In Mayor of Easttown, Mayor uses her history with the townspeople. It is a different kind of technical skill, but it is just as vital as forensics.
I want to go back to something Daniel said in his audio prompt. He mentioned following breadcrumbs on the internet and reading up on previous legal cases. It made me think about the digital side of realism. A lot of shows try to make hacking or internet research look like a high-speed video game. Are there any shows that get the digital investigation right?
That is a tough one. Most of them fail miserably. But I think Mr. Robot, while it leans into the psychological thriller side, is very technically accurate with the actual code and the social engineering. However, for a more detective feel, there is a show called The Capture.
Oh, that is a great pick, especially because it stars Holiday Grainger, who plays Robin in Strike.
Exactly, and it explores the world of digital forensics and deepfakes. It is terrifyingly realistic in its depiction of how video evidence can be manipulated. It is more of a conspiracy thriller, but the investigative process, how they verify footage, how they track movements through CCTV, it feels very plausible. Especially now in 2026, where we are seeing these technologies become even more prevalent.
It is interesting how the gritty label has evolved. It used to just mean dark and violent, but now it seems to mean complicated and technically accurate.
I think that is a better definition. Real life is complicated. Real investigations are often boring for 90% of the time and then terrifying for the other 10. Strike gets that balance right.
So, we have covered some big ones. The Wire, Bosch, Unforgotten, Slow Horses, Zodiac, Mayor of Easttown. If we were to look for something a bit more off the beaten path, maybe something international.
There is a Danish series called Department Q. It is based on the novels by Jussi Adler-Olsen. There are several movies, and I believe a new series adaptation that has been making waves. It is about a detective who is shunted off to a basement to handle closed cases, and he starts actually solving them. It has that very cold Scandinavian noir feeling, but with a very focused procedural heart.
I have heard good things about that. It has that outcast protagonist that seems to be a staple of the genre.
It really is. We love a detective who doesn't play by the rules, but in these realistic shows, not playing by the rules doesn't mean running around with a gun. It means actually doing the work that everyone else has given up on.
That brings up a good point for a misconception busting segment. What do you think is the biggest thing most people get wrong about private investigators, based on what we see in fiction versus reality?
Oh man, where do I start? First off, the access issue. In many shows, a PI just walks into a crime scene or demands files from the police, and they just get them. In reality, a PI has zero legal authority. They are a private citizen with a license. They cannot trespass, they cannot wiretap without consent, and they certainly cannot just commandeer a police investigation.
Right. Strike is actually pretty good about this. He is often having to bribe someone or use a connection just to get a look at a file for 5 minutes. He knows he has no standing.
Exactly. And the other big one is the action. Most PIs spend their time doing background checks, insurance fraud surveillance, or serving legal papers. It is a lot of sitting in cars and looking at computer screens. The gunfights in alleys happen exactly 0% of the time for most PIs.
I think that is why Strike stands out. When there is violence, it is sudden, it is clumsy, and it has consequences. People don't just bounce back the next day. Cormoran's physical disability, his prosthetic leg, is a constant factor. It is not something that is just there for character flavor. It affects how he moves, how he fights, and how much pain he is in.
It is a brilliant bit of realism. It grounds every action sequence. You are constantly aware of his limitations. And that makes his successes feel much more impressive. He has to outthink his opponents because he can't always outrun them.
So, if Daniel is looking for that weekend binge, I think a good strategy would be to pick one police show and one PI show to see the contrast.
I agree. If I were him, I would go with Unforgotten for the police side, because of that deep dive into cold cases and the excellent character work. And for the PI side, if he has already seen Strike, I would actually suggest he checks out the first season of True Detective.
Season 1 specifically.
Yes. It is more of a police show, but the two leads are essentially working outside the system for much of it. It has that incredible, heavy atmosphere, and it really dives into the psychological toll of a long-term investigation. It is gritty, it is philosophical, and it is technically very well executed.
And if you want something a bit lighter but still realistic...
Lighter but realistic is a tough combo. Maybe Poker Face? It is more of a case of the week, homage to Columbo, but it focuses on a character who has a very specific technical skill. She can tell when people are lying. It is not gritty in the dark sense, but it is very grounded in the people and places of America.
I think Daniel would appreciate the lie detector aspect, given his recent deep dives into legal documents.
For sure. But if he really wants to scratch that Strike itch, I have one more recommendation that is a bit of a curveball. It is a show called Happy Valley.
Ah, that is a heavy one.
It is heavy, but it is some of the best television ever made. Sarah Lancashire plays a police sergeant in West Yorkshire. It is incredibly gritty, very realistic about the limitations of the police in a struggling community, and the central conflict is deeply personal. It finished its run a couple of years ago, but it is a perfect binge. It is 3 seasons of absolute tension.
I remember the ending of that show being one of the most talked about things in years. It felt right. It didn't feel like a TV ending. It felt like a life ending.
Exactly. And that is what we are really talking about when we talk about realism, isn't it? It is the feeling that these characters exist before the camera turns on and continue to exist after it turns off. They have bills, they have bad knees, they have complicated families, and they are just trying to do a job that is often thankless and exhausting.
I think that is a great place to wrap up the recommendations. We have given Daniel a lot to work with.
We really have. From the cold cases of Unforgotten to the slow horses of Slough House, there is a lot of high-quality grounded investigation out there.
And before we move on to our final thoughts, I wanted to bring up something from our recent episode memory. Remember back in episode 3 on 43, when we were talking about the Scuffmark crisis?
Oh, the renting trauma. How could I forget?
Well, Daniel's current situation with the roof leak and the tenancy agreement is basically a real-life sequel to that episode. It is funny how these weird prompts often mirror what is actually happening in our lives.
It is a My Weird Prompts tradition at this point. Life imitates art, or at least, life imitates our housemate's search history.
Very true. So, for the listeners out there who are into this kind of thing, what is the practical takeaway? If you are looking for a new show and you want that realistic feel, what are the red flags to look out for?
My biggest red flag is the magic computer. If a detective says, enhance, and a blurry reflection in the spoon becomes a crystal clear face of a suspect, turn it off. That is a fantasy show, not a realistic one.
My red flag is the lone wolf, who is also a supermodel. If the detective is 24 years old, has a perfectly manicured apartment, and drives a $100,000 car on a public servant's salary, it is probably not going to be a gritty masterpiece.
Absolutely. Look for the characters who are tired. Look for the offices that are messy. Look for the detectives who actually have to wait for a DNA test to come back instead of getting the results in 30 seconds.
That is the aha moment for me. When the plot is driven by the characters' limitations rather than their capabilities, that is where the real drama lives.
Well said, brother.
All right, I think we have done a solid job on this one. Daniel, I hope that gives you some good options for your weekend binge. And honestly, good luck with that roof leak. I think we all need to be detectives to find where that water is actually coming from.
I suspect the butler did it. Or, you know, the structural integrity of a building from the 1920s.
Probably the latter. Hey, before we go, if you've been enjoying my weird prompts, and you are finding our dives into these topics helpful or even just entertaining, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on your podcast app or on Spotify. It genuinely helps other people find the show, and we love reading your feedback.
It really does make a difference. We are a small team here in Jerusalem. Well, a team of two brothers and a housemate with a very busy internet connection, and your support keeps us going.
You can find all our past episodes, including the ones we mentioned today, at our website, myweirdprompts.com. We have an RSS feed there if you want to subscribe that way, and a contact form if you have a weird prompt of your own you want us to tackle.
We are also on Spotify, so make sure to follow us there so you never miss an episode. We are up to episode 344 now, which is a bit mind-blowing when you think about it.
It is. Thank you all for being part of this journey with us. We will be back next week with another prompt, another deep dive, and hopefully a drier house.
One can dream. Until next time.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks for listening.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.